Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Tuesday, March the 29th, 2022, 13 minutes past the hour, 24 degrees and sunny skies here in Marion. All right, let's get rolling here this morning. Oh, by the way, I do want to thank, sorry I was not able to be on yesterday morning. Had a little bit of a throat issue yesterday morning. It's coming back this morning a little stronger than it was, but hopefully it'll keep gaining momentum and we'll continue on as the week goes on. I do want to remind everybody and thank our guest in hour number one that Mike Essen was the guest, and his program can be heard on blogtalkradio.com. So don't miss that. Also want to remind people that today, 4:15 to 5 p.m. on this station, Voice of a People with Linda Sims will be on. So don't miss that. And from 2:10 until 3 p.m., we have got the Adam the Computer Guy show. It was a very interesting weekend. I know a lot of people watch the Academy Awards on Sunday. What a mess that turned into. We're not going to talk about that this morning because we've got a guest coming up here in about a minute. But boy, oh boy, could that have been a bigger mess, a bigger news story, apologies. And you know, I was talking last week about how people treat each other. And this is kind of what I was talking about. Do we treat each other as well as we should in the public eye? Rather we are politicians or movie stars or just people, regular people doing our 9-to-5 jobs, do we talk to people like we used to? I don't know if we do. I think Sunday night was a good example of people getting into bad situations in front of a live audience that resulted in damage to their career, and based in what? Just kind of being a hothead. I don't know. I think as time goes on, unfortunately, this will continue to be the norm, but I hope it gets better, because I hope people learn that type of reaction is not positive. All right, I think we have our guest coming up here, which we always enjoy. And we continue on this morning here on WWGH Radio, 16 minutes past the hour, 24 degrees and sunny skies here in Marion on this March the 29th, 2022. So glad to be joined by our guest this morning for the remainder of the program. He joins us every fourth Tuesday of the month from 9:15 until 10 a.m. We had to postpone that 1 week this month due to scheduling conflicts, but we're so glad we were able to get him on. He is the mayor of the city of Marion, currently running for treasurer of the state of Ohio on the Democratic ticket, Mayor Scott Schertzer. Mayor, how are you?
Well, good morning. It's so nice that the sun is out. I wish it was warmer.
I know. We're not quite there yet. Every time we think we're about there, we're not.
Yeah, you know, that's living in Central Ohio, isn't it? I think we're all used to it. We don't like it, but it is what it is.
You know, Mayor, are you surprised when we get a warm day or a warm couple days that people go out and start mowing their yard and dressing a little cooler, and they're ready for spring?
Well, there's no doubt about it. I think Marion is ready for spring. I'm ready for spring, and it sounds like you're ready for spring. it's nice to get out in the yard and pick up the I call it the winter trash, if you will. Things blow into your yard, they blow into your shrubberies and your fence lines or whatever. So people are ready for the warm weather. We will start picking up curbside yard waste. I believe it's the third Monday of April. I've seen some already being set out to the curb. We're not doing that quite yet, but we're going to get there. I want to say it's the 18th, Scott, but don't quote me on that. I'm sitting in the car right now, and I don't have my notes in front of me.
Well, when it comes to issues like that, yard waste and trash removal, what are the biggest issues that the city has with that?
Well, I'll tell you what, that is one of our departments where we get the most accolades from our residents, and it's our sanitation department. They do an outstanding job. And, you know, it's quite unfortunate that last night on city council, that the council could not approve the new bargaining contract. That is a unionized department, AFSCME, and we just wrapped up about 6 weeks ago. Some of the best negotiations with that bargaining unit that the city has ever had. It went to council for the first reading. There were not enough votes to suspend rules. It went to council last night for a second reading. There were two council members that were absent, so they did not take any votes on it. But I was just shocked to hear the one councilman express his disdain for bargaining units in the city of Marion. These folks are some of the hardest working people in the city of Marion. They're the folks that pick up our trash, our yard waste. They do maintenance on our streets and our sewer systems. And they couldn't even bother to vote on their contract, which was a very fair contract coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Take us through what has happened here. There's been a lot of talk about this. What is going on with this contract?
But it's really in council's hands. As far as the administration is concerned, as far as the bargaining unit is concerned, they were very civil, professional negotiations that took place over a course of, I don't know, a couple of weeks, if you will. You come to a tentative agreement, which means that both sides agree. The union membership takes the vote, and they voted affirmatively to accept the contract, and then it goes to council, because the council, they have to make sure that the funds are there to pay for it, and the funds are there to pay for this particular contract. So I'm not real sure why Councilman Neff expressed his dislike for bargaining units for the first time that I've heard on city council floor last night.
Now, I believe Councilman Neff has been there in a city council position through two previous years prior to this one, but you've never heard this before. Has he ever approved, to your knowledge, any union contracts, bargaining contracts?
You know, off the top of my head, over his tenure on council, I'm guessing that there were bargaining unit contracts that were presented to council. I can't recall of any off the top of my head. I know we have to negotiate the police and fire contracts next year, so maybe he approved the steelworkers contract since he's been on council, but I honestly don't know if he did or didn't. You'd have to ask him.
What was his problem? What was his disdain for these bargaining contracts?
He just expressed the fact that he didn't really, in my opinion, particularly care for bargaining units. Any more than that, you'd have to ask him. I don't know. He doesn't say very much.
Now, when it comes to people being absent on a night like last night, when people get agendas about what is going on, is that typical, normal? Is this a good thing?
You know, it's unfortunately, it's starting to become more normal of council members missing. I don't know why they miss. Oftentimes, if a council member is going to be out of town, they will notify the clerk of council. It's important that everybody knows that if we're going to have enough council members to constitute a quorum to take care of the people's business on council, And if not, what's the next step? Or if there are enough people that we think that we can get a suspension of rules, such as the contract 2 weeks ago. It wasn't the case with the contract last night, but you need 7 votes to suspend, and when you're missing 2 people, you might not have enough votes to suspend to take care of business. Now, on many of the issues on council last night, non-controversial issues, it's just the day-to-day operations and business of the city of Marion, they suspended the rules. For example, last night there was an ordinance with the transit system and getting ODOT money for our low-to-income elderly disabled citizens in our community. And that's additional money that goes to our transit system. They suspended rules. There were 7 members there. They all voted to suspend, and they all voted affirmatively on that issue.
Why is that a controversial issue?
The one that I just mentioned?
Yes.
It's not. So I guess I'm sorry if I didn't make my point clear. Many of the issues, I didn't consider anything on council's agenda last night controversial. How an issue becomes controversial, I honestly don't know. You'd have to ask the person who tends, it could be on council, who tends to be vocal on that issue. I don't know.
Now, when we get back to this contract, and I believe it involves the sanitation, transit, and wastewater employees here in Marion. Now, some people felt that it was controversial, and I think this was written up in the Star, because there's a $1,000 COVID bonus in there for employees who have had the COVID, are fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Is that the issue here? Did we hear all that right?
Well, that is in the contract, and that was something that the AFSCME bargaining unit brought to the table. And my administration, my negotiators, primarily Jim Bischoff, because most of the AFSCME workers fall under his purview, we were not opposed to that. That's how you negotiate. Somebody brings something to the table, and if one side doesn't like it, then you compromise, you work through it, but that was an issue that we had no concerns about.
Where would that money come from? I know that was a question.
It can come from the ARPA money, or either that or I don't think we have any of the CARES Act money left, so I suspect it will probably come from the ARPA.
For citizens who would have read the Marion Star article about that situation, and for a lot of people that's how they got their news, it was as if that was what was hanging it up.
You'd have to ask members of council if that's the single issue that's hanging it up. I don't know. There was some expression from Councilman Neff last night about his dislike for unions, which was, again, the first time that I've ever heard that from him.
Now, when this first came up about approving the contract, at that point you wanted to just vote on it. Is that correct? And that idea was voted down.
No, you mean the union contract?
Yeah, the union contract.
The first reading, it didn't receive enough votes to suspend the rules, which is a common practice when it comes to the bargaining units. The first vote is the suspension of rules. Otherwise, it goes 3 readings. We had second reading last night, so 2 weeks from yesterday will be the third reading, and council will have to either vote it up or down. But I think the important thing is here is there are collective bargaining laws in the state of Ohio passed by the state legislature, and my administration will follow the collective bargaining laws of the state of Ohio as we have done in the past, and we will continue to do so as long as I am mayor.
So the asking for the suspension of the readings, which happened a couple weeks ago, that is typical in these situations.
Yes, it is.
And is this the first time this has ever been a problem, or one of the only times this has been a problem?
Well, you're really making me reach back into the archives of my brain, aren't you? Look, I can't say that it's the first time, but I will just simply say that it is highly unlikely. It's a highly unlikely scenario that we're going through with this bargaining contract.
What happens if it's not approved by council?
So, you know, the contract ends on December 31st. So what will typically happen is the bargaining unit will continue to do their work under the current contract. And once and if it gets approved, then they will be receive retroactive pay for whatever's in the contract or whatever was negotiated. For example, in the contract, they will receive a 3% cost of living increase on their wages. So that won't kick in on April 1st, but it'll kick in retroactively whenever the contract is passed. Now, if it's not passed, again, we refer back to the collective bargaining laws of the state of Ohio. We go to fact-finding. We go back to the table with the bargaining unit. But when you have the bargaining unit and the administration having a tentative agreement, we pretty much agreed on everything. So I'm not sure what we're going to go back to the table to continue to negotiate just because council wouldn't approve the contract.
Does council have any place in this, in the bargaining unit itself, aside from approving it?
Great question. And to the best of my knowledge, the answer is no, because it's the administration's responsibility to negotiate the contracts with the bargaining units, and that is not the duty nor the responsibility of the legislative branch of municipal government. Now, there's probably a more legal answer that the law director might give you, but that's my non-legal answer.
The new council has been in office now for about 4 months, and there were a lot of changes on council. And I asked you this the last two times you were on. How's that going? Any better than before? Last year, it got a little political, a little down party lines. We discussed that quite a bit over several issues. How's it going so far? 4 months in, and with this issue right here, it seems like there's some issue there.
Well, I think there's always a learning curve. Whenever you start a new job, no matter what that job is, there's a learning curve. I think that oftentimes when starting a new position or job, there are kind of standard operating procedures. We do a lot of things on city council. My administration presents things to city council that are just standard operating procedures. They have not ever been political, nor should they ever be political. It's just the day-to-day operations of city government, which by and large is not political in itself. But when you insert politicians into the process, myself, council, law director, auditor, treasurer, etc., they can become more political. And I'm not really sure why. Usually what happens after the first month, after council reorganizes, which is a political process, the councils get down to the business of doing the work of the people and providing the services that the city government provides. We've kind of done that, but I still think in some cases there's a bit of a learning curve going on.
Is there an expectation that this will get better at this point or worse?
Well, look, I'm always a glass half full kind of guy, so I hope it gets better. I would never want to say to your listeners or to you that I expect it to get worse. But, you know, I hope it gets better, but you prepare for any and everything.
When we look at the makeup of city council now, this is a local office. In just your opinion, why do you think people run for local office now? Is it any different than it has ever been?
You know, you'd have to ask some of the candidates in the past couple cycles of why they have elected to run for public office. I honestly don't know. You know, I have my reasons of why I first ran for city council in 1999. I was already engaged and involved in the musical process, as you well know. My history is well documented, but I don't know why new people come to the table. It's not a bad thing. Let me just say that. It's not a bad thing to refresh your legislative body, the political offices that we have, with new people from time to time. But what tends to happen is you lose institutional knowledge. I've spoken about institutional knowledge a lot the last couple years and the importance of that institutional knowledge. And even when a new person comes on, they don't seem to have the respect for institutional knowledge that new people coming on in public office had in my early days as an elected official.
When we look at this issue with the sanitation workers, the transit workers, the wastewater workers, is this a political issue on council as to say the Republicans tend not to want to do this, as Mr. Neff is a Republican, and the Democrats do want to do this? Even though it shouldn't be political, is that where we are?
You know, I kind of tend to think so, just based upon some of Mr. Neff's comments last night. Politics can be civil. Don't get me wrong here. Mr. Neff was very professional last night. I don't want to make it sound like that he wasn't in any way, shape, or form. He is always very professional. Even when he and I disagree, there tends to be a level of professionalism involved. So I don't want your listeners to think that just because we disagree politically that it wasn't a civil, professional issue. It's not personal. It's politics. But unfortunately, nowadays, if you have watched or listened to any of the debates that have taken place here in Ohio on the Republican side or the Democrat side, it has gotten very personal. And when you insert too much personal into it, that's when it becomes bogged down and marred down, and the politics gets so much worse.
I want to talk about that in a second, because there have been some developments on the state level, certainly in the way people are handling themselves, not so much in the politics of it, now that you are running for state office. But before we move there, is COVID-19 and the vaccine always going to be a political issue at this point? Not saying that's what's hanging this up, but if it is that just political? No way around it now?
Well, I guess based on what I've seen and heard over the past 2 years since we've embarked in this pandemic lifestyle, yes. But I have also recently said many times that as Americans, Ohioans, and Marianites, we're all learning to live with this. And what the final outcome will not be determined by a Democrat or a Republican. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I've moved into what I call a live and let live attitude. If you want the vaccination, it's up to you. If you don't, okay, fine. But we shouldn't disparage one another just because somebody decided to get the vaccination and somebody else did not. Same thing goes with wearing of masks. We don't see a lot of mask wearing right now, but occasionally you'll see somebody who feels they've made the personal choice for their personal health and welfare to continue to wear a mask. And I'm okay with that too. That's their choice. I'm not wearing a mask. That's my choice.
Does the dollar amount mean anything, the $1,000 bonus for people or incentive for people who have gotten the COVID vaccine, who work for the sanitation, transit, or wastewater department? Do you think people look at that amount and say, that's a pretty big amount?
Well, I suppose they could. I don't know the answer to your question, but that dollar amount was not just plucked out of thin air. That is a dollar amount that AFSCME units have seen in other local governments in Central Ohio.
And just so people understand, what part did you play, or your administration or city government play, in
this contract, coming up with what the final decision would be. As far as the bonus, as far as COVID-19, as far as what the pay raise would be.
So the way we've done it in my administration is it's a team effort. Usually the point person in the negotiations would be one of my three directors that has the majority of that bargaining unit that they're responsible for. In this case, it was Jim Bischoff because streets and sanitation fall under his jurisdiction. So he was the lead negotiator. But Kathy Chaffin sits in because she has a few AFSCME people that she's responsible for under her jurisdiction. And she also brings a wealth of knowledge coming from the auditor's office when it comes to the finances of a contract in this situation. Randy Carrier participates. Now, next year, I forget when, but at some point we'll be negotiating police and fire contracts. Randy Carrier will be the lead negotiator in that process. And then, you know, we work back and forth. I work back and forth with my directors as we move through the negotiating process. And when they came to me in a very short time, after just a few meetings with this AFSCME contract, and Jim Bischoff said, wow, what a great negotiating experience. We have a tentative agreement. And then we talk about it. The contract goes to the bargaining unit. The members vote on it. It was voted in with a majority. And then we take it to council and ask for council's consent on that.
Did you ever think there would be this much conflict, problem, hang up with it as there has been?
Look, over the past couple of years, there are a lot of things that have popped into my mind that I didn't think would be as controversial as they are. And yes, this is one of those things that I just would have never imagined in my 10-year municipal government that the negotiating a contract that was tentatively agreed to by both sides, very civil, very cordial, very professional negotiations, it would have come to this point. Where a council member would have expressed his opinions on bargaining units in the city of Marion. Mm.
Want to turn to the state level here. We've had a very interesting month when it's come to Ohio political races. The Ohio Republican Senate debates got a little intense when two candidates confronted each other on stage. Got nose to nose. About a week and a half ago, our governor, Mike DeWine, was at the Beef Expo in Columbus and ran into his primary challenger, Joe Blystone, who has a lot of signs here in Marion. And Mr. Blystone asked him why he would not debate him, asked the governor if he was a coward. And Mike DeWine, who's been in politics for over 45 years at this point, said he was going to kick his hindquarters and didn't use the word hindquarters when he said it. Is this where we've gotten in politics?
Yes.
What does that say about us? That was a good answer.
Look, yes, unfortunately. The civility has gone out the window. I think both sides are playing to their base, and we're forgetting about a large voting block of independent voters out there who tend and sometimes go either Democrat or Republican, depending upon the situation. It's so much more uncivil, if that's a proper term to use. And it's unfortunate that we are not more civil with our politics today. But you know what? I think when you look at history, we can find examples of this throughout in American politics. But I sometimes would like to see us go back into more of a civil discourse.
We have had bombastic governors in the past. Governor Rhodes, I think people would say, was an animated governor. I think people would say that of other governors who we've had in the past. But I don't ever recall a sitting governor, certainly somebody who is the far more experienced politician, in a public place like the Beef Expo, where there are kids, adults, cameras, so on and so forth, using an expletive in the direction of one of his opponents. Is it even shocking anymore at this point? Is that the way a governor of a state should act?
No, it's not shocking anymore, and no, that it's not the way they should act. But I think it's the shock value and the 30-second soundbite that they all want to get, is who can be the most shocking to the voters and get the most airtime. That's free press coverage for a politician. And, you'd have to pay tens of thousands of dollars to get the kind of press that they were, that they'd be, or the kind of time that they'd be getting in the press if they had to buy ads like that.
If that is how the game is played now, you're running for state office, how do you get ahead? How do you get that press coverage? How do you get elected to office?
Well, first of all, I'll just say that it's very difficult for any down ticket, and that's what I'm considered, a down ticket candidate statewide, to get that kind of, to get what I'll refer to as free press. So that is a challenge to begin with. And so that means that there are other methods that I will have to execute to try and reach the voters to get my name out there in front of them.
Is that one of the big hurdles at this point, to get your name out there, to get the press that people are getting, to be being the down ticket vote?
Well, I think sure it is. But what we're seeing, at least on one side of the political aisle, we're seeing them pull each other underneath the waterline. And so maybe that can be beneficial to the other side of the political aisle who stands above that waterline.
When we look at the Democratic Party in Ohio right now, not holding a lot of offices, haven't done well in state elections in the last few years, and a lot of local elections. How do you think it's going this campaign season so far?
Well, the campaign season is still early. You've probably heard the term before. It's a marathon, not a sprint at this stage of the game. You get to Labor Day weekend, it becomes more of a sprint to the finish line of November the 8th. So we do an assessment of my campaign weekly. I meet with folks that I'm working with and my campaign staff, and we look from week to week on what I need to be doing, and we will continue to do that.
So far, what kind of things have you done?
I've done the standard and typical, usual statewide campaigning that anybody would do, and I will just leave it at that, as not to expose any internal campaign strategies.
I understand. When you were making the decision to run for state office, what tipped it over the edge for you at this point?
Well, look, you go back to my early years in public policy and elective politics. I worked on statewide campaigns. So I've always had... maybe a desire to have the opportunity to run statewide. Had that opportunity 4 years ago. So for a hot minute, I was lieutenant governor candidate. So when this opportunity presented itself, it seemed like a good time in my life. It seemed like an opportunity that I wanted to take advantage of to represent the voters of the state of Ohio as their state treasurer.
Democrat, the words Democrat and Republican have come to mean so much to so many people and so many voters in the state, maybe more than they used to mean. What does being a Democrat mean to you? How do you define that?
Well, look, I am a Democrat that was raised in my community as you know it, and so I am not your typical Democrat from the suburban urban areas. I'm a more of a rural Democrat. I understand the importance of agribusiness in the state of Ohio. Most people don't even know that it's the second largest employment sector in our state is agribusiness. I understand the importance and value of gun ownership and what that means to folks across the state of Ohio that don't live inside a city corporate limit for the most part. But many of our residents here in Marion, they do understand the responsibility that goes along with gun ownership and what that means. So I support that because, you know, I'm one of them. I grew up with the gun cabinet at the foot of my bed. And when I say that, I mean that quite literally. If you go to my parents' house, the gun cabinet is still at the foot of my bed with my hunting rifles in it. So I grew up as an outdoorsman, a sportsman, a hunter who appreciates and understands the safety and the care of the weapons that have been entrusted to me by my grandfather, my father, and the few that I have purchased in my lifetime. So that is not a typical Democrat. I'm fiscally conservative because of where I come from. That is not necessarily atypical, but that is not necessarily how the media presents a Democrat. I'm a conservative fiscal Democrat.
If somebody comes to Marion right now, where would you take them? What would you show them as being very positive about the city of Marion?
Well, right now I take them to downtown because, and they may look at our downtown and say, yeah, you know, it's coming along. But, you know, 10 years ago, there were a lot of vacant storefronts in our downtown. And I would show them that this storefront was vacant and this one, and go on down the line and show them how we have very few vacant storefronts downtown. In fact, off the top of my head, I can only think of maybe a couple, and that's because they're under renovation at this point in time. So the success of what downtown was and has become is monumental. And it's important in economic development for the health of our community as well. And we still have other things planned that we should know a little bit more about later on this year that I can talk about.
What has changed that has allowed that economic development?
Well, I think a lot of it is working together, working collaboratively. I've seen a lot more of collaboration and cooperation in our community. I do, however, think that the pandemic has put some people back in silos. And so if we want to continue progressing forward in economic development, in the growth and welfare of our city, we need to make sure that we don't all go back into those silos that I saw in my very early days in municipal government.
A lot of people get the opinion that Marion is not moving forward. We hear this all the time, and sometimes it is just in the media. What's your answer to that?
My answer is spread your wings and get out to some other communities, and you'll see just how far we've come in the direction that we're going in. You know, I taught 8th grade American history for 11 years, and some of the best ideas that I ever had were borrowed ideas as a teacher. And we do the same thing here in Marion. But also, we're cutting edge and innovative as well here in Marion, and that we have seen other communities the size and demographics of Marion borrowing from us. What do they say, that flattery is the most sincere form of imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. So something like that. I don't think that came out right, did it, Scott?
Hey, by the end, we got it. By the end, we got it. We got there eventually.
Sorry about that, folks.
No problem. It's one of those mornings.
A little levity. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's one of those mornings. You know, Mayor, are you surprised that people don't debate anymore. We have seen this on the local level, that people are not showing up to debates anymore. Governor DeWine will not debate in the primary. What do you think is happening?
Well, you know what? First of all, let me just speak to that at a local level. We really, in my involvement in politics, we have never locally had true debates. We have candidate forums. The League of Women Voters is probably the preeminent forum for candidates. But what we have seen even with that over the last few years, even prior to the pandemic, where certain candidates would just refuse to come. For what reasons? I'm not quite sure, but the pandemic really put the kibosh on even that. But, you know, in my early days as a councilman, I can think of at least three, maybe four candidate forums that I used to go to as a council candidate running or for re-election. And I'm not sure why that has gone up the state level, or maybe it's come down, I don't know. But I don't know why we don't debate. Maybe for the very reasons that we have seen some of the Republican senatorial debates here recently is why we don't have them. Maybe people just are not tuning in to them. I heard just a little bit of the Republican Senate debate last night, and I heard one person just bashing the liberal media. Well, here's my take on that. When the Democrats bash the conservative media and the Republicans bash the liberal media, that tells me that the media is probably somewhere right in the middle. And whoever is doing the bashing is doing that bashing for their political base to try and get that base to vote for them in a crowded U.S. Senate primary.
Governor DeWine had a unique answer as to why he would not debate in the primary, the Republican primary for governor, and it was, people know where I stand on the issues. Is that a good enough answer?
Well, evidently the governor thinks it is. I don't think it's a good enough answer. You know, I think there should be debates. I think there should be civil debates. But we're well past civility in American politics right now. So maybe it's a transition that American politics or Ohio politics, and even to the extent that local politics is going through and should go through. Maybe there is an outcry from the voters on why the candidates are not debating. And until the voters speak up and say, you know, I want to hear my two candidates debate the issues in a civil platform, then maybe we won't have more debates until that happens.
When we look at everything that's going on, and a treasurer's race is not exactly seen like a governor's race, a gubernatorial race, or a Senate race, but they have become personal. You use the word right. It's no longer about your issues. Some of it is, but some of it's, I don't like you, you're an awful person. It's very, very personal. Why have we become so personal? It used to be, I don't like where you stand on that.
Yeah, and you know what? I often think that the politicians that do get elected to public office that are so personal, I don't think, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't think they make good public policy. I think that they tend to make public policy just for the people that they think that voted for them, or just for the people that they think think the same way they do. And an elected official is supposed to represent everybody, whether you think the same way or not. Look, picking up trash should not be a political issue. It's a Democrat, Republican, Independent, and a non-registered voter issue. And so many of the issues that I deal with as mayor fall into that category. So many of the issues that I will have as treasurer fall into that category. Now, maybe governors and legislators fall into a different category, but we all don't fall into that same category.
We've got about 90 seconds left here, Mayor, and I wanted to ask you this. You know, I covered city council for a while and would come up there and cover the meetings, and I always got the impression, no matter what party somebody was from, that people were friends, and if they weren't friends, they were acquaintances. They could have dinner together. They could play softball together and get along. Is that the case with the current city government? Do people like each other? Is it cordial? Is it friendly?
Look, I think it would be unfair of me to answer that specific question about city council. I sit over there in the jury box, as the mayor traditionally has done so, at city council meetings. They're not my meetings. They're city council meetings. They're the legislative body's meetings. I do think that there are some council members that are friendly and like each other. I think that there are some city councilmen that are friendly but don't dislike each other. So I don't know. That's a question that you should ask each one of the council members to see how friendly they are to one another. Is it just during the council meeting, or do they do things outside of council? I honestly don't know. We're only 3 months into this council. I know some of the veteran council members, they tend to talk more because they've worked together for a much longer period of time. Sometimes the new, I'll just use the term, new kid on the block needs to make friends with the council members that have been there longer, that have more institutional knowledge. I will simply say that Aaron Rollins seems, in my opinion, to have a very open mind when a councilman is talking about an issue. Aaron Rollins is very intently listening. Now, he may say, I see your point, but I disagree with you. And that's the kind of civility that we need. And I think Aaron has the capability of doing that.
With about 10 seconds left, do you have hope that this contract will pass with the sanitation, transit, and wastewater employees? Confidence it will pass, city council?
So I have hope that it'll pass. I guess at this point, with not all nine council members being there, I really don't know. I think the bottom line, the most important thing for our asking workers is that it should pass, and that my administration will follow the collective bargaining laws of the state of Ohio.
Mayor Scott Schertzer, Mayor, thank you so much for joining us, and imitation is the sincerest form of flattery for next month. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mayor Scott Schertzer, always a pleasure to visit with him. Hope everybody learned a lot today. Hope you have a great day, and I'll be back tomorrow for this day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.